Amen. Thank you very much. Let's take the Word of God tonight, and we will go to the Old Testament to a very familiar passage, Psalm chapter number 23. Psalm chapter 23, and I want to thank for being here. I know yesterday we had a great day. It was a great blessing to see the person walk forward to receive Christ as her Savior. And, you know, we should never get tired of that, you know? And we should never think that that's just commonplace, but we thank God for that and what a blessing it is. I know the Lord has been doing a great work here with throughout this week, people coming to know Christ, children on, I believe, Friday night getting saved, and just what a great, great blessing it is. Well, tonight as we come to Psalm chapter number 23, I know that it is a familiar psalm. In fact, someone once said that Psalm 23 is the most beloved psalm in the Bible, but often the one least believed. Do we really believe Psalm 23? In fact, sometimes we hear something so much that we take it for granted. I love where the Bible talks about this simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. And so very often, it is the simple things in the Bible that have such the greatest meaning. And tonight, as we come to Psalm 23, I know that this is a week where our emphasis, in many ways, is on revival. But can I tell you something? Revival is impossible without the great shepherd of the sheep. Revival is really coming back into His presence. It is knowing our heavenly shepherd. And tonight, as we think of this subject, Psalm chapter 23, I want to preach to you on this matter. The shepherd restores our soul. He restores our soul. Have you ever needed restoration? Have you ever been weak and you needed to be restored? Have you ever been wounded and you needed to be restored? Have you ever been weary and you needed restoration? I think for many Christians, we live in a world today where we are often weak, weary and wounded, and we need our shepherd's restoring. And you know what? As we think throughout the Bible, I think of Peter. The Lord Jesus restored Peter. I think of all throughout God's Word. We think of Abraham and Moses, and we think of men that the Lord restored them back into fellowship with Him. Tonight, no matter who you are, there will be times in your life when you need to be restored. Tonight, let's begin in a word of prayer. Would you join me and let's pray together for the Lord's blessing in this service. Father in heaven, I thank You for the privilege to be here this week. And Lord, a great day You gave us yesterday. Your presence was real and was evident. And Lord, tonight as we come, no doubt, Lord, many folks are weary, tired, and they've worked hard throughout this day. But I pray for the next few moments that You would arrest our hearts and our attention, that You would quiet our soul, and that You would speak to the very, Lord, depths of our hearts tonight. Show us where we need restoring, and I pray that You would do a great work of restoration. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. We come to Psalm 23, and I'm going to take my time reading this psalm. It is 6 verses. It would do us good to meditate often on the Bible. I tell our people that it's not how much of God's Word you read, but how you read it. Do you take time and think and ponder? And, you know, often God will give me just a phrase from His Word, and it takes me throughout the day. And I quote that phrase or that verse throughout the day. Well, Psalm 23 is much like that. Let's look at it. The Bible says in Psalm 23 and verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Would you look back in verse number 3, and if you're in the habit of underlining things in your Bible, the very first part of verse 3 says, He restoreth my soul. Now, Psalm 23 is a very precious psalm. In fact, years ago, there was a man by the name of Pastor Charles Allen. And Pastor Allen tells the story about a friend of his who was also a pastor. And he said that he had a member in his congregation that was struggling in many areas of his life, emotionally and having very difficult things. And he went to the doctor for the doctor to be able to help him. The doctor was a Christian, and the doctor knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "Sir, honestly, there is nothing I can do to help you. You need to see your pastor." So the man came to sit down before his pastor, and he began to share the burdens of his heart. He began to share the wounds in his life. He began to share the trouble, the fear, all of that. And the pastor said this, "You went to the doctor, and the doctor could not help you, but I'm going to give you a prescription." And he wrote it out on a piece of paper, and he said, "I want you to read Psalm 23 5 times for the next 7 days. He said, "When you wake up, I want you to read it. And I want you to meditate on it throughout the day. At lunch, I want you to read it again and meditate on it." He said, "At dinner time, I want you to meditate on it." He said, "I want you to meditate on it 2 times before you go to bed." And he said, that man came in after a week long of meditating and digesting and taking in Psalm 23. And he said, his life was transformed. You see, tonight, folks, we come to Psalm 23, and I think it is such a precious psalm because it gets our eyes off of ourselves and it gets our eyes on the shepherd. You see, in Psalm 23, it's all about the shepherd. It's about Jesus, our great shepherd. The Bible says that he is the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He is the chief shepherd and he is the great shepherd. Tonight, as we think about the shepherd, by the way, this psalm is known as the sweetest song that has ever been sung. I believe that Psalm 23 is like an oasis in the desert. It's a place where we can come and rest and find comfort and find strength. In fact, it brings comfort and healing because it focuses on the shepherd rather than on us. You know, so often in life we struggle because we are thinking about us. We're thinking about our problems and our needs and our distress and our discomfort. When if we get our eyes on the shepherd, it begins to work great miracles in our life. We think of Psalm 23. There are two people in Psalm 23. It is the sheep and it is the shepherd. Now, we know that David wrote Psalm chapter 23, and we believe that David wrote it at a later age in his life. And David knew a lot about shepherds. He was a shepherd himself. But David, I'm sure, had seen all kinds of shepherds. He had seen cruel shepherds. He had seen lazy shepherds. He had seen shepherds that were not good to their sheep. And I'll tell you what David is doing here. David is saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." In a sense, David is saying, "I want you to look at my shepherd." Because he is the perfect shepherd. He is the one that helps us and comforts us and strengthens us. He is the true shepherd tonight. In fact, he never forgets his sheep. He never fails his sheep. He never forsakes his sheep. And by the way, every one of us tonight, you are either a saved sheep or you are a lost sheep. We only become saved sheep when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that when I was 17 years of age, the Lord gloriously saved me, and I was no longer a lost sheep. I became a saved sheep. And now I have a shepherd. By the way, tonight, who knows you better than the one who created you? Who could possibly care more for you than the one who was willing to lay down his life for the sheep? Who could lead you more wisely and lovingly than the one who knows the end from the beginning? You know something, revival, as I said last night, is just people, Christians, falling in love all over with Jesus again. And folks, tonight, I want to present to you the great shepherd of the sheep. Tonight, I want us to have our eyes on the shepherd. I'm going to tell you this. Folks, tonight, do you know Jesus and do you love the Lord Jesus? Do you understand who Christ really is and His love for you? You know, my dad grew up in a home that was not a Christian home. In fact, my dad and mom were first generation Christians. It was their desire to go to church and to raise a family in church. And I'm so thankful for that. But my dad contracted polio when he was just a very little child. My dad still walks with a limp today. But my dad tells me, said, son, it was tough growing up with polio. His dad, an unsaved man. His mom was saved, but she was a very carnal Christian. And he told me, he said, his own dad used to make fun of him for his limp and that he was not able to do other things. His dad berated him and just criticized him. His dad was very cruel. My dad's grandfather, I did not know him. He was a very wicked man, a very godless man. In fact, he died from being murdered because of his violent lifestyle. My dad grew up with not really knowing what love was really like. My dad grew up with the ideal that someone who should love him does not love him. And I believe that there are people all over, including Christians, that do not view God right. A.W. Tozer said this, the most important thing about your life is what you think about God. And folks, so often the problems in our life is related to that we don't think right about God. And in particular, we don't think that God really loves us and really cares for us. Folks, tonight, if you are confident in God's love for you, knowing that He loves you, He cares for you, and this is a God who wants to restore us back into fellowship with Him. I think some people have the ideal that revival is the ideal of, boy, you know, revival means I'm just going to be a miserable person, and revival is just kind of a drudge life. Folks, revival is just being near to Jesus Christ. Revival is knowing Him. It is loving Him. It is worshiping Him. That's what revival is. It is getting close to God. It is His presence. And here is David saying, the Lord is my shepherd. Number one tonight, I want you to notice that the sheep are prone to wonder. Robert Robinson wrote that great hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. But a part of that hymn says, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Why did he write that? Because we are sheep tonight. Now, you know something, the Lord said, all we like sheep have gone astray. You know what, I really wish the Lord would have said, you know, my people are like lions, or they're like something courageous out there. But I'm sorry tonight, we are sheep. And let me tell you something about sheep. Sheep are good at wandering. They are good at getting lost. In fact, shepherds tell us that sheep are only able to see about 30 to 40 feet in front of them. Sheep have no sense of direction whatsoever. They are prone to wander. In fact, sheep are the only domestic animal that cannot make it without a human. They need a shepherd. Now, you know, for instance, you take a horse and, you know, if a horse is into the wild, it will make it on its own. Now, you take a cat. Let me tell you something about cats, all right? Now, do we have cat lovers here tonight? Would you raise your hand? Hold it up high. We need revival for sure, all right, okay? There's no doubt about it whatsoever, all right? I grew up in a home where we didn't have animals inside the house. I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee. But my mom and sisters, God bless them, they took in every stray cat in the neighborhood. It was kind of like Cat Central at our house, you know? And I don't know, cats. What are they good for? I just don't know, all right? And cats really don't love you. I mean, they just don't, all right? They're selfish. They're cynical. I mean, all right, let's get back to the message, all right? But We think of animals, all right? A dog, cats, they can make it on their own, but not sheep. Sheep have to have a shepherd. Sheep have to have someone keeping them safe, and sheep have to have someone watching over them and feeding them. Why? Because sheep will not eat the right things. They will not drink the right things. They will not do the right things. Sheep are prone to wander. And I want you to know something tonight. You and I are just sheep. You may be a saved sheep here tonight, but your heart is prone to wander. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." 1 Peter chapter 2 said this, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Folks, tonight we need to understand that the natural heart is always prone to wander. It is prone to get away from God. It is prone to leave His Word. It is prone to get away from prayer. That is the natural heart. That is why we must draw nigh to the shepherd. We need the shepherd. By the way, as a pastor, when I became a pastor 10 years ago at our church, I remember the very first Sunday. And I remember saying to our people, you know, I know you're probably wondering what to call me, you know, Brother Samples or preacher or pastor. And I simply told them, I said, I'm going to tell you something. I love the term pastor because it is the word that means shepherd. In fact, you could almost say, as David is saying here, the Lord is my pastor. I shall not want. You see, there is a nearness to David here. There is a closeness. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. And he goes on to say, He restoreth my soul. Did David know something about God restoring his soul? Absolutely. David knew what it was to wander from God. David knew what it was to get away from God and not to sense His presence and His nearness. In fact, when we think about this word restore, it's a beautiful word. It means to bring again. It means to bring home. I love that. It means to heal and to cure, to repair and to rebuild. It means to revive and it means to bring life. Do you know what a revival really is? It's God restoring us back into fellowship with Him. You think about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You know, when I read the passage in Genesis and I try to imagine in my mind Adam and Eve walking with God. When I think about them walking with God, talking with God, fellowshipping with God, that's what God created us. We are created to fellowship with our God. We are created to worship our God. And let me tell you this, as A.W. Tozer said, when we are not worshipers, we go about miserable. Folks, can I tell you this tonight? It may be that you are miserable tonight. You do not have the joy of the Lord in your heart tonight simply because you are not living in worship to the Holy God. You need to be restored. There is something special about the nearness of our God. His presence is real. I'm going to tell you this. There's times when I'm alone with God in His Word. And I'm alone with God in prayer. And you know, sometimes I've said to the Lord, and this is maybe a little bit too, open before you. But there are times when I've said to God, God, I just want to crawl up in your lap and hold you and hug you. You know, I think about my little children, you know, when they were little. They're not little anymore, you know. And my son, if he sat on my lap now, he'd break me, you know, as far as that goes. But when my kids were real little, I remember one time in particular, my son, who was a senior in our school, he was swimming in a pool of water and he was just learning how to swim. And I was standing on the very outside just talking to my dad. And all of a sudden, my son cried out. He said, Daddy, help me. And he was drowning. I remember that day jumping in that water, grabbing my son and lifting him up above the water. Can I tell you what I did that day? I restored my son. He was sinking. And folks, tonight, can I get your eyes on the shepherd tonight, whose eyes look upon you with love, whose eyes look upon you with care, whose eyes look upon you, that He wants to bring you back into fellowship with Him. He wants to restore you tonight. In fact, when David said, "He restoreth my soul," can I tell you that this word soul is a synonym for the very word me? You know what David was saying? He restoreth me. God made us spirit, soul, and body. And the Lord wants to restore us back into fellowship with Him. Listen, all of us tonight, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. How many can remember a time, maybe right after you got saved, when there was a nearness that you had with God that you well remember? Would you raise your hand and hold it up high? Yes. Can I tell you this? I remember when I first came to know the Lord as my Savior, and I remember that next morning waking up. Sunday, I'd come to know Christ as my Savior, and that was a wonderful day. But the next morning, I woke up, and I remember thinking, I am a child of God, and I can talk to God, and He wants to talk to me. And I remember getting my Bible out that morning, and I began to read. And can I tell you, it was unbelievable. God started talking to me. Now, not in an audible voice as I'm speaking to you tonight, but may I tell you, He began speaking to me. And that created within me, I wanted to talk to God. And God was talking to me, and I wanted to talk to God. And I remember, it was so sweet. It was so wonderful. Can I tell you, I was walking with the Lord. But folks, why is it sometimes that honestly, if we would be honest, we don't want to read the Bible? Why is it sometimes that we don't want to pray? You know, the truth is, I think most churches are this way. You know, if we said we were going to have some kind of special fellowship and eat together and whatever it may be, man, people would come and all of that. But if we said we're going to have an all-night prayer meeting, people would say, you know what, I got something else to do. Why is that? Because we resist that. We resist the very thing that we need. Sheep are prone to wander, and our own wicked heart is prone to wander from God. Folks, when the soul grows sorrowful, our shepherd wants to revive it. When our soul is sinful, the shepherd wants to sanctify it. When the soul is weak, the shepherd wants to strengthen it. Tonight, are you at a place in life where you say, Pastor, I am weak and I am weary and I am wounded? Then I want you to know tonight, the shepherd is waiting to restore your soul. He longs to restore your soul. Number one, the sheep are prone to wander. Secondly, the shepherd is persistent to watch. Now, here's something about the great shepherd. Do you know what the shepherd does? Now, let's think of an earthly shepherd. He has to watch over his sheep. The shepherd is continually watching the sheep. By the way, we could talk a lot about Psalm 23, and I remember preaching through this many years ago in our church, and it was one of my favorite things to preach upon because it's all about the shepherd and what he does and desires to do. But the shepherd is constantly watching the sheep. In fact, if you know the analogy of that, the Bible talks about that his staff and rod, they comfort me. Well, the shepherd takes the rod often as correction, but the staff is used often to part the wool of the sheep. As the sheep are coming into the sheepfold, the shepherd stands at the door, and Jesus said, "I am the door." And he stands there, and the sheep are passing through, and he lays that staff upon their back. Can you imagine the comfort they felt knowing that the shepherd was taking personal care of them? And he's looking for insects. He's looking for any type of disease. He's looking for everything. Why? Because he loves his sheep. He cares for them. So often in life, we can think that maybe God really doesn't care for us. The devil blinds us to the goodness of God. The devil tells us, you've sinned too much. You've done too many things. And God doesn't care for you. And God does not love you. But I want you to know that the shepherd is persistent to watch in your life. And what does he watch for more than anything? He watches for sheep that are cast. You say, Pastor, what is that? Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm chapter number 42. Psalm chapter 42. Folks, as we think about being cast, now what does the term cast mean? Well, let's read Psalm 42 and then I will explain it to you. Psalm chapter 42, notice here, this psalm is written and it begins to talk about being cast. Notice when it says in verse number 1, Psalm 42, it says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. You notice how the psalmist is talking about his soul. He says, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. And then he says this, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse 6, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. He says, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Miser. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? And then he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now, this word cast is a shepherd's term. When a sheep is cast, let me tell you what we find. When a sheep is cast, it's on its back. Did you know something? That it is impossible for a sheep, once it gets on its back, to get back up on its feet without the help of the shepherd. It can't do it. In fact, do you know that sheep are prone to be cast? The shepherd is constantly watching. He is persistent to watch for a sheep that is cast. Because when a sheep is cast, think of that sight of an animal, the sheep on its back, no doubt its feet and in the air. You see, sometimes sheep will often look for low places in the ground to lie down. But if they lie down, sometimes that center of gravity will move in their body, and all of a sudden they are cast. They are on their back. You know something? If a shepherd does not arrive in a short amount of time, the sheep will die. The legs, the circulation will be cut off in the legs, and actually internal organs will begin to shut down. If it's a hot, sunny day, the sheep will die in its place. It's vulnerable to animals, to wolves, and all kinds of different animals. The shepherd is persistent to watch a sheep that has been cast. You know something? I believe that there are times in life when we become cast down. Maybe you're cast down tonight because of something in your family. You're cast down. I see people in our church sometimes that maybe their children are not living for Christ, and they become so discouraged and so hopeless. And you know what happens? They become cast. I see husbands and wives that are cast down because of maybe their spouse. I see young people that become cast down because of sin's temptation, and they have habits in their life that they are not able to conquer in their own strength. Folks, we become cast. You know something? As a pastor, I have been cast before. I've gone to God before and said, God, I'm on my back now. And Lord, I'm vulnerable. I need you to put me back on my feet. Lord, I need you to restore me back into fellowship with you. Take your Bibles and go to Psalm chapter number 51. And you know this passage here. The shepherd is persistent to watch for a cast sheep. Notice Psalm chapter 51. We know the context of Psalm 51. David has sinned against God. In fact, David has sinned in such a way that David will suffer great consequences for his sin with Bathsheba. Do you know that in Psalm 51, this is David's prayer that he prays that night after Nathan the prophet comes in and says, "Thou art the man." The baby's going to die and the sword will never depart David's house. And David prays this prayer. Now, most commentators believe that David spent almost close to a year out of fellowship with God. David spent months hiding his sin, trying to cover his sin. He had Bathsheba's husband put on the front lines so that he could cover his sin. And he married this woman that he committed adultery with. And David is cast. Look what he says in Psalm 51, verse 1. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." You know what God is doing in David's heart? He's bringing conviction so that David will confess his sin. David will repent of his sin so that David can be restored back into fellowship. Verse 4, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned." And by the way, all sin is against God. "And done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." David goes on to say in verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." But before I read on, David is saying, "God, Lord, bring me back into thy presence." That's revival, folks. That is knowing Jesus and walking with Jesus. Our sin separates us from the very presence of God, and we are not enjoying his fellowship. We go about miserable because we are not living in fellowship with our Creator, our great Shepherd. We read on here, and the Bible says in verse 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Now, verse 11 and 12, the word "cast" is found. Cast me not away. You know what? David is using shepherd terminology. David is saying, "God, I'm cast. I'm on my back. Lord, I've sinned against you. I have rebelled against you. It's my sin, my transgression." And he says, "God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And listen what he says, "Uphold me with thy free spirit." He says, "God, keep me up. Uphold me." Tonight, can I ask you a question? Are you on your back, spiritually speaking? Are you on your back because of sin that is unconfessed and unforsaken? Are you on your back tonight because maybe you have been wounded? You know, I'm going to say this to you tonight, and I want you to hear me out. I'm thankful to be a pastor. I love being a pastor. I've heard preachers say before, "Well, if I wasn't a pastor, I'd do this and that." Well, if I wasn't a pastor, I'd be a bum because I don't know how to do anything else, and I don't want to do anything else. But can I tell you this? As a pastor, you know, at times I get wounded by my own sheep. I love them, but I get wounded. They come back in and say, I'm sorry, preacher, I shouldn't have said that, but the wound is still there. Some of you have been wounded by other brothers and sisters in Christ. Some of you have been wounded by the words of your spouse, or young people, maybe by the words of your own father or mother. You've been wounded at work. You've been wounded in your family. You've been accused. You know, the devil is the accuser of the brethren, and he does great work when we begin to accuse one another. And you know what happens? I've seen people in our church that have come and they've gotten wounded by someone. I try to help them, but they get wounded and they get on their back and they don't let the shepherd restore them back into fellowship. They get bitter. They get angry. They get upset. They're wounded. And you know what? There are some sheep that get wounded and you need to be restored. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I don't have the right words to be able to say to you to heal a wounded heart, But the Bible says that God knows how to heal the broken in heart. God knows how to heal that brokenness. You know what? I have people in my church that have been wounded by the deeds of other people. I remember as a youth pastor having to try to help young people that had been abused in their early years. Should have never happened. It was sin in the eyes of God. But they are left with those wounds. They are left with those images. They are left with those thoughts. They are left with all of that. But we have a shepherd who can restore us tonight. He can restore us back into fellowship, the joy of His salvation, knowing Him and walking with Him. No matter what has happened to you tonight, I want you to know something. There is a shepherd who has seen all of that. There is a shepherd who loves you in spite of your sin. There is a shepherd who is watching over you. He is persistent to watch. Today on the phone, I remember telling one of my children, I said, look, the Lord knows. The Lord sees it all. You know what's sometimes hard for young people is to deal with injustice. By the way, we all have a hard time with injustice, don't we? We all have a hard time. It violates our justice system. Maybe that when something happens and we know it wasn't fair. And I said to them, the Lord sees, He watches, He knows, He understands. He is persistent to watch. And number three, the last thing tonight, not only does the shepherd, he is persistent to watch, and the sheep are prone to wander. But number three, the shepherd has all power in His work. Do you know something tonight that all power is given unto the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven and earth? He has all power. There is no lost sheep too sinful that He cannot save. There is no child of God too distant and backslidden that He cannot restore. There is no wound too deep or difficult that the shepherd cannot heal. There is no marriage too broken that He cannot restore. There is no situation too impossible that He cannot heal. Folks, tonight we have a shepherd who has all power. Tonight, what do you need? Well, the shepherd has all that you need. In fact, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There is nothing lacking with our shepherd. He has everything that we have need of tonight. Listen, revival is just getting close to Jesus. It is drawing nigh to Jesus. And by the way, revival is not, God, give me power so people will think well of me. Boy, I think as a preacher, I've been guilty of that sometimes. I want God's power so I can preach well. I want God's power so we can fill the church house. I want God's power so people will think well. You know something? That's nothing but pride and sin and arrogance in the eyes of God. And may God help us tonight that we desire His presence, not for anything of ourselves other than we just want to be near Jesus. You see, He restores our soul. You know, when we came back as a church after everything with COVID, it's been tough on churches. You know what? I had a lot of people that needed restoring. A lot of people that had been living in fear that needed to be restored back into fellowship with the God who has all power. And tonight, when we think about our lives, Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee." Tonight, I don't care what you have going on in your life that you think is impossible. I want you to know tonight that He has all power. Now listen to me. Folks, tonight, the Lord wants to restore us. He wants to bring us back into fellowship. I can remember as a kid getting out of fellowship with my mom and dad. I love my parents. I thank God for them. And boy, that was a horrible thing, being out of fellowship with my mom and dad. But when I got things right and I confessed my sin, God was brought into fellowship to my parents. And tonight, in a simple way, God wants to bring you back into fellowship with Him, to where you can talk to Him and He is talking to you, to where you enjoy His Word and you enjoy His presence and you want to tell others about Him. That is restoration. Folks, may God help us that in our everyday experiences, we become hurt and we become damaged. But if we let him, the great shepherd will come and cleanse us, and he will heal us inwardly, restoring our souls to full strength and full health. Do not limit tonight the ability of the shepherd. So often tonight we don't experience revival because we just don't think God can give us revival. Sometimes in our lives we are not restored because we just don't think God can restore us. We think that we are too far gone, that we are too far from His presence. But tonight, let us put our eyes, our confidence in a God who can do all things. He is our shepherd. Folks, the emphasis tonight must not be on our ability or what we can and cannot do. The emphasis tonight is on the shepherd who restores our soul. In closing tonight, would you go to the book of Joel, all right? If you'll go to the book of Matthew and turn back, you'll find the book of Joel. Joel chapter number 2, almost at the end of the Old Testament. Joel chapter number 2. I am reminded that so often when we think about revival, we are tempted sometimes to think about what we have lost because we have not lived in revival. Folks, the Lord can work in your life to make so much of what you have left that it far exceeds what you have lost because of the consequences of our sin. When we come into proper communion with Jesus Christ, when our souls are restored and we are in fellowship with the Lord, can I tell you, He completely changes our lives. Tonight, you may think that you have wounds that you can never recover from, but you can be healed of any wound if your soul is restored. God wants to restore your soul. And by the way, the sheep does not restore himself. It is the work of the shepherd. As we submit and as we yield to the shepherd, as we come to him and we say, Lord, heal me. Restore me back into fellowship. I will confess any sin. I will forsake any sin. You know something tonight? We can have revival if we really want revival. I'll tell you tonight, so often, we are as close to Jesus Christ as we want to be. And boy, I'm convicted by that. I'm as close to the Lord as I want to be. Because His arms are open wide to restore us and to fellowship with us. Folks, tonight, if you knew how much God wanted to fellowship with you, it would overwhelm you tonight. If you knew, He desires your presence. He desires your love. Joel chapter number 2, and I love this passage of Scripture. The Bible says in verse number 25. Now, please understand, judgment has come. They have forsaken the Lord, and the consequences have fallen. But look what the Bible promises them. In Joel 2, verse 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. You know what God told the people? He said, I brought judgment because you sinned against me. And folks, we can never erase the consequences of our own sin. But I'm going to tell you this. There is a God in heaven who is able, and only He is able, to restore to us the years that we have lost because of our sin. Listen, folks, that is a great God. You know what? Sometimes the devil says to us, no, you've lived too far from the Lord. You might as well quit now. The devil sometimes says, you're too far gone. The devil says, it's too late for you. But there is a God in heaven who wants to restore to you the years that the devil has stolen from you. Tonight, He restores our soul. Not anybody else. He and He alone. He has restored our soul 100 times, and He still restores it because He is the way, the truth, and the life. Our shepherd is constantly working to restore us back into fellowship. Folks, when you come into contact with the great shepherd, He is the great physician of your soul. He knows your weakness. He knows your weariness. And He is willing to restore you. Tonight, we must just run to our Savior. We have lots of little children at our church. And I love each and every one of them. And I know the Reinharts are here tonight, and they have a grandson in our church, little Titus. And, we've watched him grow, and he's getting bigger and bigger. I have a pair of boxing gloves in my office, and he knows exactly where they are. And we box all the time, all right? We got to teach them right, you know? But little kids, there's a little boy right now. His name is Clayton, and it actually is Titus' little cousin. And he just started this just a few weeks ago. But he will see me or my wife, and he will take off running. And I'm going to tell you something. If I don't grab him and lift him up, he'll just run straight into me, you know? But he is coming, and I grab him, and he goes and wraps those little arms around my neck. You know what? He can have whatever he wants, you know? I'll give him anything. He does it to my wife, and I'm going to tell you something. It just steals our hearts. And you know what? When he does that, I just hold him and brings a smile on my face, my wife's face. We love those little kids, and we want them to know Jesus as their Savior. But you know, one day when that little boy came to me, and I said, "Hey, Clayton," and I reached up, and he grabbed me and hugged me tight. And now he probably just wants the M&Ms I have in my office, but still, right? When that happened, that one day, the Lord said, "You know something? I'm waiting for you to run to me." You know what? When those little kids do that, I'm going to tell you something. It does something in my heart. But there is a God in heaven who wants to hold you. And I mean this in the most sacred way that I can say it. But there is a God in heaven who wants to have communion with you. Who wants to talk with you. Who wants to laugh with you. Who wants to fellowship with you. When I was a teenager, our family went through something very difficult. And very difficult. And one day I was sitting in a courtroom, not knowing what was going to happen to one of my family members. And they had done wrong. They had sinned against God. And I was probably, I don't know, maybe 15 years of age at the time. And I felt like my whole world was coming to an end. There was a man sitting right beside of me. And he was a man that God had used in my life many times. And I remember that day sitting there. And I began to cry because I didn't know what was going to happen. And that man took that big old arm of his and wrapped it around me. And he whispered to me and said, "Aaron, God's going to take care of everything." You know something? That day, that man was like the Lord to me. He was Christ-like in his love. I thought about that arm coming around me as a 15-year-old teenager. And you know something? There is a God in heaven whose love is greater than anybody that you can ever imagine. His love for you is an immeasurable love. It is an unchanging love. It is a love that's uncaused. We don't deserve anything to have His love. But God longs to know us, and He longs to have fellowship with us. And tonight, see your shepherd. See His eyes looking upon you. We often run from the Lord when He wants us to run to Him. And when we do, He'll pick you up. And He'll draw you close. He will heal the wounded heart. He will cleanse you. He will sanctify you. Tonight, the shepherd wants to restore your soul.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.